From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua. In chapter 14 and in portions of chapter 15, we find the record of a man who was particularly distinguished for his faith in the promises of God. Caleb was one of the 12 men chosen to spy out the land of Canaan. Only he and Joshua had brought back an encouraging report, whereas the others discouraged the heart of the people, resulting in the 40 years of wilderness wandering and the deaths of all who were 20 years old and upward. At that time, God had given Caleb a promise of inheritance in the land. Now, at the age of 85, Caleb was ready and eager to claim his inheritance. Here is the account of a man of consecration, of courage, and of constancy. May the Lord speak to all of us, as Dr. Cairns reminds us of the value of a true-hearted servant of God. We'll hear the opening portion of this message called Caleb in a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of the great 19th-century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love. The Lord's admiration of His church is very wonderful, and His description of her beauty is very glowing. She is not merely fair, but all fair. He views her in Himself, washed in His sin-atoning blood, and clothed in His meritorious righteousness, and He considers her to be full of comeliness and beauty. No wonder that such is the case, since it is but His own perfect excellency that He admires. For the holiness, glory, and perfection of His church are His own glorious garments on the back of His own well-beloved spouse. She is not simply pure or well-proportioned. She is positively lovely and fair. She has actual merit. Her deformities of sin are removed. But more, she has through her Lord obtained a meritorious righteousness by which an actual beauty is conferred upon her. Believers have a positive righteousness given to them when they become accepted in the Beloved. Nor is the church barely lovely. She is superlatively so. Her Lord styles her, Thou fairest among women. She has a real worth and excellence which cannot be rivaled by all the nobility and royalty of the world. If Jesus could exchange His elect bride for all the queens and empresses of earth, or even for the angels in heaven, He would not. For He puts her first and foremost, fairest among women. Like the moon, she far outshines the stars. Nor is this an opinion which He is ashamed of, for He invites all men to hear it. He sets a behold before it, a special note of exclamation, inviting and arresting attention. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. His opinion He publishes abroad even now. And one day, from the throne of His glory, He will avow the truth of it before the assembled universe. Come, ye blessed of my Father, will be His solemn affirmation of the loveliness of His elect.
Thank you.
The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place," unquote, Joan Pinkston. Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family or friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
Thank you. We're returning this morning to the 14th chapter of Joshua. We're going to read together a very familiar passage from verse 6 through to verse 15, and then we're going to read a couple of verses in chapter 15, verse 13 and 14. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Two verses in chapter 15, verse 13 and 14. And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his word for his own name's sake. Caleb was one of those people who entirely lived up to his name. The root part of the name Caleb is the Hebrew word for heart. And his name would signify, quite simply, according to the heart. It's a very good name for this man, because Caleb was certainly a man of great heart, the kind of person who lived his life with all his heart. There was nothing cold about him. There was nothing merely mechanical about him. Whatever he did with all his heart. And that's saying a lot, because when you read the Word of God, you find that this was a man who did many things. Caleb was both a saint and a soldier, as indeed every child of God in every era of history should be. He was a saint and a soldier. And in both those capacities, he distinguished himself in a most outstanding way as a man of God. A great Scottish preacher, as he thought on the biblical narrative concerning Caleb, gave a brief summary of his understanding of this man's character. And he described him as bright and brave, strong, modest, and cheerful. There's an honesty in his face, courage and decision in the very pose of his body, and the calm confidence of faith in his very look and attitude. And I think that goes to the heart of the man. Caleb deservedly held a unique place among the people of God in ancient Israel. And I find it entirely fitting that of all the people who received their inheritance in the promised land proper, that is, west of Jordan, he was the very first one to be given his territory from the Lord. I say that's fitting because of the peculiar history of this man. Comes as something of a surprise that many commentators and scholars doubt if Caleb was really an Israelite by birth at all. They notice that he's called the Kenizzite. And they remember that Kenaz was by birth an Edomite. They conjecture that Caleb's father or grandfather perhaps had become a proselyte and probably married into the tribe of Judah, so that Caleb was really a Jew by conviction, not merely by birth. I have to say personally that that seems to me to be too large a deduction to draw from very slim evidence, from the mere coincidence of a name. I'm not sure that Caleb was a natural-born Edomite and who was only brought into the people of God as a proselyte. But however we believe about his ancestry, there's one thing very certain, and that is that Caleb became a leader of the tribe of Judah. We have read something of this in the passage today. When Moses chose 12 of the princes of Israel, one from every tribe, 12 leading men, whom he would make to be special commissioners to go in and spy out the land, for the tribe of Judah, he chose Caleb and sent him with the others into the land of Canaan to see what it was like and to bring back a report to the people. When Caleb went into that land, he saw a land that was populated by mighty warriors who had strong defense cities, who seemed to be in such a position of strength that they were unconquerable, invincible. That was certainly the impression conveyed to all the others except Joshua. Out of the 12, there were only 2 men who could look beyond the walled cities, who could look beyond the giant soldiers, and who could see the land as God saw it. And Caleb was one of those 2. I think we can go further than that, and we can say he was not only one of the 2, Joshua and Caleb. We tend to think that because Joshua later became the leader of Israel, that on this occasion also, in spying out the land, he took the lead. But the narrative of Scripture is very much to the contrary. We are led to the inevitable conclusion that it was Caleb who was the most outspoken. It was Caleb whose faith was expressed in the most dramatic terms. Caleb was the man who stood head and shoulders even above Joshua. And I'm not for a moment indicating that Joshua was in any way weak. I'm simply saying that Caleb was so aflame with a faith in his God, with a confidence and an assurance in the promise of his God, that he said while he was in the land, looking at the giants and their cities, "We are well able to overcome it." And when he came out to see the people and to tell them his report, he says, "I spoke to them according to what was in my heart." And what was in his heart was something very wonderful. You see, what was in the heart of all the others was rank unbelief. It was carnal fear. The others looked at Canaan as any wretched, ungodly man would look at it. They saw only what the eyes of the flesh could see. I would say if the cities had been 10 times stronger, if the soldiers had been 10 times bigger, if the armies had been 10 times more numerous, it wouldn't have made one bit of difference to how Caleb looked at the land. In his heart, there was the absolute conviction, "I serve the Lord God of Israel, the Lord Jehovah. He has promised this land. His word is true. And according to my heart, I will say it, we are well able to take this land." He stood while others trembled in unbelief. The majority won the day. The children of Israel were self-condemned to 38 long years of wandering in the most inhospitable wilderness. Under the wrath of God, those were terrible years. You tend to read the book of Numbers and just let the words go past your vision and you don't feel what they're saying. But remember that every man and woman in Israel over the age of 20 perished in those 38 years. Every single one of them, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. The Lord promised that he would not only keep Caleb alive through all those plagues of death, but that he would give to him and to his seed after him the land upon which he had trodden and which he had claimed by faith in his God.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.